Hello and welcome to the Stooshy, the politics podcast from DC Thompson Media. My name is Paul Malik. I am the Courier's political editor. And well, what a week it has been again in Scottish politics. This week, to discuss all the highs, lows and in-betweens in the news, I am joined from Edinburgh by Callum Ross, the Press and Journal's investigations editor. Good morning, Callum. And all the way from sunny London, I am joined by the Press and Journal's Westminster correspondent, Dan O'Donoghue. How are we this morning, chaps? We well.
Fantastic.
Good, yeah.
Good stuff. Let's get cracking into it, because it has been another week that was in Holyrood, led not only by ourselves, I may say, because we have had two rather spectacular polls which have shown or helped to show the mood of the nation, and it's coincided with the launch of a new politics party. Northeast politician, you may have heard of him, Alex Salmond, decided that he wanted to get back into frontline politics this week. He obviously was missing and not enjoying his quiet life of retirement up in Aberdeenshire. And he has decided to lead the Alibi Party on the regional lists. What do you think this means for Scottish politics now that Salmond's back? Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Is this things we've all feared or things that we've all hoped for? Callum, you've followed Salmond for quite some time in your capacity as Press and Journal political reporter. He's obviously a man of your patch. What sort of insights can you say he might have had this week, given the poor polling numbers and the fact that there was a few technical glitches at his launch?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You kind of said at the start there, Paul, about being another quiet week in Scottish politics. I mean, it's just amazing at the moment, isn't it? Every week seems to bring new twists and turns and dramas, and obviously it's only a week ago that we had Mr. Salmond's return with the launch of his Alibi Party. I mean, I think we all kind of knew there had been rumours that he might be considering it, but it wasn't clear whether he was going to do it or not, and it did kind of take some people by surprise. I think the way it was all confirmed. Obviously, the launch had some glitches, some technical problems, I think, which you covered yourself during the week. But it's obviously been the main story of the election so far in the kind of first week of the campaign. It's thrown the cat amongst the pigeons, so to speak, because people didn't really know what the impact would be. I think everyone's been waiting for the first poll, which we published last night. Dan was working on that. Everyone kind of waiting to see what the impact would be, who would be harmed by the Alibi Party, and how they would do, whether they were going to get any MSPs elected. So I think Dan will be able to say a bit more about that, but I think certainly it seems like Nicola Sturgeon and everyone in the SNP and the Greens, for that matter, will have been breathing a sigh of relief after seeing the numbers we published last night.
Yeah, Dan, talk us through a few of those numbers, because they were quite interesting, weren't they? One of the quotes you got was, "This is the end of Alex Salmond," but I'm pretty sure that in the last 5 years I've heard that at least 20 or 30 times. Talk us through a bit about what the polling could mean and couldn't mean, and a bit of insight that you got from John Curtis, Professor Sir John Curtis, I should say.
It was, I mean, and that's the line that he came out with. It's all over for Salmond, he said. I mean, you know, the polling really was pretty dire for his new party. I mean, you know, obviously been all speculation about how much of the SNP's vote they were going to take away. You know, and I'll just quickly talk you through the results that we got on the back of this. It doesn't look very good at all for him. So the Arts of Asian poll puts the SNP ahead in both the constituency and list votes on kind of 49% and 37% respectively. The Tories sit on 21% and 18% in the list. Labour 20 and 19. The Liberal Democrats on 9 and 8%. The Greens are 11% in the list, and the Alibi Party trailing on 3%. I mean, John Curtis said to me that kind of translated to a narrow majority for the SNP on around 66 MSPs, Labour second, Tories third, and Greens on 11. But I mean, I think quite worrying for Salmon, really, besides the fact that, you know, his new party's really kind of just, you know, failed to get off the ground and have that, you know, impact that he wanted in the first week. It's also we kind of got some results on, you know, individual favorability of different leaders. And I mean, really, Salmon, it's, you know, I was quite surprised to see how bad it was for him. I mean, you know, I mean, I know he's a kind of a Marmite politician, but 71% of Scots view him unfavorably. The only person who's anywhere near that figure is Boris Johnson, who, and we know how unpopular he is from the amount of polls that we've done. He is kind of viewed unfavorably by 56% of Scots. So still, Salmon is some way ahead. And I mean, John Curtis, when he was kind of breaking down and some of the kind of numbers for us, he said, you know, in some of the key demographics among younger independents, inclined voters, Salmon was just, you know, really kind of not popular at all. I think he was kind of below 10% in terms of popularity. Well, you know, Nicola Sturgeon is way on above 50% in terms of her popularity. So it's bad news all around for the former First Minister. You know, and I think the story of, well, the story that Alex Salmon wanted it to be last week was, you know, he was talking about how he wanted to have a place in these TV leaders debates. You know, John Curtis was saying if he continues to poll at around 3%, you know, the broadcasters will quite easily be able to say, you know, you're not a major player in this election and, you know, you don't deserve a stand. I mean, but we've yet to hear what Salmon's response is. I mean, we couldn't get through to anyone last night, and I've noticed that there's been no kind of comment on it today from the Alba Party. But it'd be interesting to see what they have to say at the next press event, I think.
I mean, less liked in Scotland than Boris Johnson. I mean, yeah. Salmon than the sort of Yes movement's whole shtick has been, it shouldn't be Boris Johnson that gets to decide Scotland's future. But now we've polled and we've discovered that people like him even less than the Prime Minister. Callum, how do you think Alex Salmond will have reacted to that news? Do you think he'll have taken it calmly in a stride? I mean, how do you think that's left him feeling?
I think that will have surprised him, to be honest, more so than the 3%. I mean, that, it was always going to be a gamble, as people have said, including Nicola Sturgeon this week. She's described him as a gambler, but, you know, launching a new party and trying to get MSPs elect is always going to be a difficult task, and you know, 3%, you know, it's better than 1%. You know, some of their supporters have been arguing that there's still time to get up to the kind of 5-6% that they need. But the personal poll ratings is, I mean, I think he will have been surprised by those. I find sometimes at the moment you got to kind of take a step back and remember, or kind of remind the younger people that Dan just alluded to, you know, just how powerful and formidable Alex Salmond was only a few years ago. I mean, he really was the dominant figure in Scottish politics, and to see him polling figures like that is just something else. I mean, I suppose part of it is testament to how Nicola Sturgeon has performed, perhaps, particularly during the pandemic. Certainly the perception of that, and obviously there's been the harassment allegations, and the he was obviously cleared at trial of sexual assault, but you know, that was a long process. Those allegations have been out there for a while. They've been the subject of inquiries, and you know, maybe younger people coming through don't remember Alex Salmond the way he was when he was in his kind of prime, and see a slightly different figure to the one that some of us remember. But yeah, no, I don't think he will have taken that well. Would he have launched the party if he'd known he was so unpopular? I don't know. I suppose these figures as well, I mean, it's a really interesting poll for so many reasons, but you know, it's been portrayed in the last wee while as if there's this huge split through the middle of the SNP. But actually, I mean, you know, if these polling figures are correct, and it's maybe the first time we've seen it sort of laid bare, it really suggests that there's just a fringe element of the party that's been agitating about various issues, and, you know, aligned with Alex Salmond, and unhappy about the pace of progress on independence. I mean, there may be other people that, that feel that way, but they're certainly not ready to leave the SNP or vote for a different party at this stage. So, I mean, I think that's been really interesting as well. And as I said, you know, Nicola Sturgeon will be pretty pleased, I think, that a lot of these people have now left her party, and possibly the way things are looking might not have a future in politics anymore either.
Callum, you touched upon it there. We obviously had a few quite high-profile, if not high-impact defections last weekend. Kenny McCaskill, who has made no secret that he doesn't really like Nicola Sturgeon and has contradicted quite a lot and not really kept up with that SNP closed shop that has become so useful in for the Nationalists over the last couple of years. And Neil Hanvey as well, who, let's remember, didn't even stand technically as an SNP candidate in the 2019 election after he shared some anti-Semitic Facebook tropes, of which he apologised, but, you know, he still shared them. And he was also sacked as a sort of cabinet member of the SNP down in Westminster cabal after he left a message of support on a crowdfunder that was to sue or prosecute a Christy Blackman, wasn't it?
I think, yeah, that's the latest in Neil Hanvey's checkered parliamentary history.
Not too bad for someone that's only been there for what, a year and a bit.
Yeah, he's not got his a good share of headlines, has he? Really?
No, and he's not even top of the Mid Scotland Fife list. So
I don't think there was enough defections, was there? I mean, obviously there may be more to come, but it felt at one point, okay, things were starting to snowball. You know, some senior people were leaving, but even, you know, you didn't have the Joanna Cherry or Angus McNeil. Even if you had those, it needed more, I think, to really take off. Obviously, things are early days, and you know, things could change, but it didn't feel like it really got to the point where this was a serious split in the SNP now.
I think if you would have had, like, you know, a Cherry, someone like that, you know, who is considered, you know, still, you know, almost like the future of the party, you know, mm-hmm. someone who's very talented, who's got, you know, a high public profile, who, you know, has been spoken about in columns and opinion pieces as potentially, you know, one day a successor, you know, to Nicola Sturgeon, you know, First Minister. I mean, I know it's kind of difficult now to imagine she's not on a Holyrood list, but, you know, who knows what the future might hold. But, you know, you kind of, you've got, you know, who's joined the party, really? You've got Kenny McCaskill, you know, an old pal who's been around for a long time. And, you know, the SNP, you know, honestly, the statement from Ian Blackford was, I've never seen a statement about a former party colleague so damning, you know, just saying, you know, basically he was an embarrassment and it was good riddance. And you know, and then Neil Hanvey as well, who has, you know, you just said, Paul, you know, he's kind of not been in Westminster long at all, and he's racked up, you know, quite a lot of negative headlines, and he's alienated himself from a fair few colleagues. You know, I just thought it spilled over into Farce the other week when, you know, the party were trailing that they were going to have another big hitter as a defector or another big hitter as a candidate, you know, and through the Holyrood and Westminster Scottish lobbies into frenzy trying to find out who this person was, and it ended up being a boxer. And it's like, you know, you're already kind of coming up with, you know, dad jokes, you know, this early on in your party. You know, you should be kind of, you know, unveiling exciting candidates after exciting candidate. You know, I remember when, was it, I know they were a disaster, but that Change UK down here a couple of years ago when, you know, they had all sorts of Labour defectors and Lib Dem defectors, and, you know, almost every other week there was another big name. It was like, oh my word, I can't believe this person's now left, and already they'd run out of steam at you know, Neil Hanvey. I mean, it just, I don't know, it just, if you know, and these poll figures really, I think, confirm, you know, it's not even got off the launch pad, I think, to be honest.
And I suppose it's worth pointing out that Change polled quite highly when they first started defecting, didn't they? Because you had the three parties. You had Liberals, Labour, and there was a few Tories as well. Was Andrea Leadsom not involved?
It was former Justice Minister Anna Soubry. She defected.
Not Angela Edson, I'm sorry. That's a completely different person who definitely was not anti-Brexit. My apologies.
But yeah, no, you're right, though. They were up into kind of 15 to 20% territory. You know, I think at one point they were polling better than the Lib Dems. You know, they were kind of, doing quite well. And as I say, you know, they had, I mean, there was a disastrous strategy with the party name and logo that it just kind of was ridiculous. But they at least had organized well enough to know that they, you know, needed a steady stream of defectors to keep it in the news and keep it exciting. And I mean, as I say, just, you know, announcing that Boxer last week, I felt, you know, it already kind of come to an end with the Alba Party, but we'll see, I suppose.
I don't know if you saw the launch itself. I sat and watched it, and there it was. You know, it started off like oh my god, there's something that's kicking off at 2 o'clock on a Friday. You know, we've all settled in for the weekend. What's going on? And then actually, it gave me quite a good laugh. At one point, there was supposed to be this big sort of inspirational advert of sprawling salt tires and flying drones. Like, it didn't look cheap. Like, the 20 seconds of drone footage that we got to see looked quite expensive. You know, it was flying around Arthur's seat, and then it cut, and it was just Alex Salmond tapping away on his phone. I wonder what he was typing. I wonder if he was getting ready to say his big tweet saying, just launched our new advert, isn't it great? And then, you know, the fact that you couldn't hear any of the journalist questions, some of the people that were asking questions were not journalists. They were, what do we call them? Citizen bloggers, citizen journalists.
Mm.
You know, they're quite happy to hand out the abuse on Twitter, but when it comes to old politicians, I don't think they know really what they're doing. And then just, the whole thing seems a bit farcical, really. And I suppose in a way it shows as well just how long, I guess, it takes to become an established party, because We've become so almost so used to, I think, in Scotland, that the SNP are a big party. But even as recently as 2003, they weren't that big. They weren't huge. You guys have been covering politics a wee bit longer than I have, but I mean, it's the SNP success is only recent. And do you think that's maybe played a part in it? Is that they've got Salmond and people in the party have gotten so used to the sort of large success that they've actually forgot that they've come from quite humble roots, and it's only just recently that they've become one of the more mainstream parties.
Yeah, I always think, I mean, I've no idea, obviously, but I always think it must be quite a feeling to win an election. You know, the psychological impact that must have, it must give you a huge amount of confidence. And to do it several times must, you know, make you feel on top of the world. And I think sometimes people forget that, you know, it's not necessarily you that's winning these elections. It's because you represent a party, and that party is popular. Most of your voters, your backers, don't really even probably know your name. But then, you know, you carry forward that confidence and think you can go and just set up a new party and be elected again. It doesn't always work out like that. It's also, you know, I think, you know, Dan's making the point, it's not easy to just set up a new party, is it? I mean, we've seen that before. Obviously these guys aren't setting out to win the election. They're looking for a few seats on the regional list, but even then, you know, it's fairly last minute, pretty much, you know, 5-6 weeks before the actual election, when this has all been launched, which could be, it's a tactic that could work. You know, you get in there right at the end and get a lot of publicity. But certainly on the polling last night, that doesn't look like it's going to be enough. But I suppose there's time for things to change, isn't there?
On the polling, I think it's just important to mention as well that, you know, Curtis was looking kind of at how the vote share was in the northeast of Scotland, obviously where Salmond's standing, and the party is polling around 6%, which could end up resulting in Salmond getting a seat himself. I mean, I just wonder, what do you guys think about, you know, if it was just Salmond on his own, you know, in Holyrood, would he be a really isolated figure, or do you think he'd cause a lot of mischief for the SNP, or, you know, do you think, would he stick it out on his own, you know, for the full term of the parliament? I don't really You know, if he was this, like, you know, fringe character who wasn't really invited in to work with, you know, the SNP and the Greens, if he was just kind of pushed out on his own, and would he just be kind of a tragic figure just in the Scottish Parliament? I don't know.
That'd be really interesting. I suppose it would depend on the numbers, wouldn't it? You know, you could end up being quite important, especially if the SNP is just short of a majority. Yeah, that would be
Deputy First Minister.
Well.
But then on the other hand, I mean, did Mark McDonald make much of an impact as an independent?
He didn't, no, but I mean, I suppose the SNP could rely on the Greens to pass their budgets and stuff. Yeah. It would be fascinating. It would be fascinating to see who he'd work with. I mean, he obviously knows a lot of people there still, even after a lot of them have stood down. I'm sure he's... fallen out with quite a few of them in the past, but also there must be some people there he's still on good terms with, including in the SNP. So, yeah, it would certainly be a fascinating plot for the next parliament at the start. Anyway,
now we've mentioned these polls that we've been taking, but we have done quite an extensive amount of research. Or I say we, Starvation, our polling company, has on our behalf done quite a lot of extensive research to find out what you, the voters in P&J and Kinnear patches, want to discuss at the upcoming election. So keep an eye out on your papers and online from Monday of next week, where we will have the lowdown on what you, our readers and voters, want to discuss. The big clue is not independence, which is good news for everyone because it means that there's plenty to talk about. We'll just keep it nice and short this week. So I have been Paul Malik. Thank you to Callum Ross and Dan O'Donoghue for joining us from Edinburgh and London. Thanks to Chris, our producer. Stick with us, accept no imitations, download us on all your podcast providers, and tune in next week for another exciting edition of The Stooshie. Bye.
The Stooshie is the politics podcast from DC Thompson Media, bringing together political journalists and commentators from all over the country so that you are better briefed. Teams at The Courier, The Press and Journal, The Evening Telegraph and The Evening Express work hard every day, online and in print, to bring you careful reporting and analysis to help you understand the implications of what happens in Holyrood, Westminster and beyond. Subscribe to The Stooshie today, recommend us to friends and family, rate and review it if you have a moment, and let us know what you think of what we cover and how we cover it on Twitter and Facebook. We're Stooshie Scott on both. Be better briefed with The Stooshie from DC Thompson Media.